from Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 and following. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Chislev, the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, one of my brothers, Hananiah, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them about the Jews that had survived, those who had escaped the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They replied, "The survivors there in the province who escaped captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. And I mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenants and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which have sinned against you. Both I and my family have sinned. We have offended you deeply, failing to keep the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the words that you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are under the farthest skies, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place at which I have chosen to establish my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayers of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. At the time, I was cupbearer to the king." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So perhaps you're asking the question today, why is Jody preaching a series on leadership? This is the church. We need to be talking about Jesus, not leadership, guru type stuff. But you know, when we interest, or when we consider the interesting statistics facing our country today, in 2012, there was a survey conducted by the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. This is the results of that survey. It said 69% of Americans believe that we have a leadership crisis in our country. In fact, they went on to say that 81% of our country believes that most of our problems could be solved with strong leadership. Now, that was 5 years ago. Not much has changed, I would say. We continue to see at the top levels on both sides of the aisles, breakdowns in leadership, willingness to work together. We see that in the government. But you know what? The church is not immune either. We in the church, the Christian church, are hungering for leadership. The writers of the good book on leadership said this: what is the greatest need in the church today? A profound question. The greatest need in the church today. They say it's not more money, newer buildings, better methods of Christian education, or even more workers. The greatest need in the church today is leadership. The right kind of leadership, they say, can solve the church's problem. So friends, that's what inspires us as people of faith, as people in our daily working world, as school teachers, as athletes on a sports team, as parents and grandparents, to embrace and search the scriptures for a model of leadership centered in the love of Christ. So we began this 6-week series today, celebrating in my favorite way, an acronym for leadership titled CHRIST. So today we begin with the C, the first letter of that acronym, searching about what can we learn from the letter C about leadership. Well, the thing that comes to my mind that's essential to having good leadership and for us who seek to lead is to be good at communication. It's essential for us to be able to speak and communicate and listen to those around us. You know, so often we think about communication as saying what we want to say, being heard by those around us. But one of the first gifts of leadership, of communication, is not speaking, but first listening. Isn't that what Elizabeth said today? As she read our New Testament scripture in the book of James, where James said, be quick to listen, slow to speak. We have two ears and one mouth for a reason. The essential elements of leadership in communication begin, I believe, with listening. You know, this became clear to me as a young preacher starting out in ministry. You'll notice that I always wear a robe now. Did you notice that? There's a reason for that. It's not theological. Maybe it is a little, but it's also practical. It's practical for this reason. I remember preaching as a young greenhorn pastor at my first church. I was doing a Bible study one night, and I was standing before the people, and I just started my communication, right? And Manya's in the back. This is just about the time that we were starting to work with Noah's deafness. We had a few signs. I didn't know them good. She started doing sign language to me at the back of the church. Here I am, trying to do a Bible study. She's interrupting Becky, the Bible study with sign language in the back of the church. Made me mad. Got me upset. Leon, I decided I'm going to put her in her place. Mistake. I just stopped my talk. Manya's doing her signs in the back, trying to get my attention. I stopped my talk and I say, what is it, Manya? Not to be outdone, she said, your pants are unzipped, Jody. Gentlemen, there's a time to listen. And there's a time to talk. It's essential for us, if we want to influence people positively, that a central core of us as communicators is to start by listening. You know who we need to listen to most of all? Those closest to us. Our family, our spouses, our children, our parents. Pour life into them by listening to them. You see, that's what Nehemiah did in our passage today. Did you hear that? Our scripture says that Nehemiah visited with his brother. Scholars debate whether he was an actual, literal brother or a brother in the faith, Hakaliah. But Nehemiah asked his brother, he said, what's going on in Jerusalem? How's it going? He was listening. And he heard there was a problem. You see, we have to listen to our young people. We have to talk with them. I've got a confession to make today. I do not anymore enjoy going to college football games. Even more so when my team is not playing good, right? But I go just about every week. You know why I go? Because my knuckleheaded boys like to go. And I want to spend time with them. You see, it's not just about quality time in communication, but it's quantity time. We have to invest. We have to listen to lead people. We have to communicate with them and invest in their lives. That's a central tenet of Nehemiah and certainly of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, not only in our faith as those seeking to be Christian leaders do we listen, but yes, there is a time to talk. There's a time to say. But as Charlie and I would talk about, as he's led an organization for years, there's the right way to say things and there are the wrong ways to say things, right? Do you know any of those people that say, I just say it like it is? Do y'all ever hear people say that? I just tell it like it is. Well, no, usually what we're doing is we're telling it like we see it. And unless we know all the details, unless we know all the facts, and even in our imperfection, we can't fathom to know that we know like it is. It's better, as James said, to first listen and consider that we, dear soul, every once in a while, this is a horrific theological understanding for me to receive, but I had to get to the fact to understand sometimes I may be wrong. And I have to humble myself and listen before I talk. It's not just what we say, it's how we say it. Some of you may have heard the story of a gentleman that was walking down a street and he needed his pants altered. Perfect timing. He walked by this store. There was a sign, big bold writing in black, "Pants altered here." He runs in. He's in a hurry, like many of us usually are. Runs in there, doesn't see anyone. He walks in, pulls off his pants. He's getting ready, hangs them up, and then out comes the owner, and his eyes are that big. He says, "Man, what are you doing?" He said, "The sign said pants altered here." He said, "I'm not a tailor. I'm a sign maker." It's not always what we say, but it's also how we say it. You see, in our passage today, I don't know if y'all caught it, but at the very end, this is what Nehemiah prayed to God. He said in verse 10, he said, "Lord, be with me as I meet with the king." In other words, he's saying, "Give me the right words to say and help me to say them the right way." You know, friends of Rotary, we get this, don't we, Doc? We understand. The Rotarians have a four-way test. Before they say anything, they said, "Do this. Ask the questions." These four questions: is it true? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendship? And will it be beneficial to all concerned? You know, we don't have to say everything, do we? Everything we're thinking. We have to choose what we say, how we say it, and when we say it. That, my friends, is a model of leadership. Communicating bad news in the best way we can, and good news with instruction and guidance. Communication, yes, is essential to leadership. But you know, if we're called in communication to both listen with integrity and speak with integrity, I'm convinced there's no more important place to start in communication than to communicate with God through prayer, through listening to Him and His Word. That's what it means to listen to God. We study His Word daily. You know, if you're not doing that now, I encourage you, not because I'm getting on to you or preaching down at you. I'm encouraging you, as I discovered even as a young person in high school. I needed that little daily bread, that little devotion we have, Lynn. I would read that even as a young person. Just a daily devotion, a scripture for God to speak to me. You know, I get in a tendency, I don't know about y'all, but I want to talk to God. I want to tell Him what I need. I want to lay out my laundry list of problems, even before at times I'm yearning to listen to Him. May we communicate as leaders, first by listening to God, listening to His Word. Get in a daily devotion, friends. Start with 5 minutes. Young people, start with 5 minutes. Read a little prayer book. If you don't know the resource, I'll get you the resource. I can send you countless links now so you can get a text daily of scriptures and prayers. But not only do we listen to God in the scripture, but when we talk to God, you know, there's also a model for that. Many of you heard me say before that I use the acronym. There we go again on acronyms. I use the ACTS acronym. We just finished a sermon series on the book of Acts, ACTS. That's a model for our prayer life. Did you know that? Our young people can tell you. They can tell you. Craig's going through confirmation right now. They have that Acts acronym that says we begin by adoring God, praising God. That's what Nehemiah does in his prayer today. He prays God, great God of heaven, who is awesome in his deeds. He praises God. We continue in prayer by confessing our sins. That's the C of the Acts prayer. Then we thank God for all he's graced us with, specifically a good spouse, a good job, living in the United States, being a Southerner. Judy, isn't that great? And then finally, after we've adored God, we've confessed our sins, we've thanked God, then, after we've done all that, then we ask God to supply our needs. That's the S, the prayer of supplication. Wow. I wish I would remember that. To begin praising God for who he is, Becky, confessing my brokenness before him, thanking him for what he's already done, even before I ask him to do something else. That's the model of Nehemiah's prayer. Look at it again when you go home today. Read that scripture. And Nehemiah began by adoring God. He praised God. He confessed his sins. He was broken. He thanked God for what he'd done specifically for the people of Israel. And then finally he said, God, will you help me as I visit with the king today? Friends, if we want to be leaders, if we want to impact our family, our church, our world, our community, Jody, our state, we begin with communication. And nowhere is that more essential than our prayer life, our daily walk with God. Now, I know what you're saying, maybe, because I've said it too. I've been there. Maybe you're saying, preacher, I'm too busy to pray. I've got too much to do. I can't fit it in. I do every once in a while when I think about it. And I've been there. I've done that. But friends, I plead with you to embrace your prayer life, not because your pastor is holier than thou, not because he never makes mistakes. I plead with you to embrace a daily devotion in prayer life because I know how central it's been in my life. I know how weak I am without God's strength. I encourage you to try that, to strengthen your journey. You know, I saw recently in an article on Preaching Today where a person shared this news. The question was, have you ever noticed that on a typewritten paper, most professors or teachers today, Martha, they ask you to have a 1-inch margin on their paper, right? That's kind of standard. A 1-inch margin on their paper. And the question rises to me, with that 1-inch margin, would you estimate how much of the paper is white space? Some people would say, oh, maybe 15%, maybe 25% when you account for that 1-inch margin all the way around. Actually, it's 37.4%. Gerald, check my math later on. 37.4% of the paper when you use a 1-inch margin all the way around it is white space or empty space or more horrifically called dead space. But if you consider that someone's a good English teacher, like Miss Jennifer Huddleston, who wants their paper double-spaced, then do you realize over half the paper is white space? Over half of it seems to be unused. Over half of it seems to be inefficient. But we who are good writers, and we who are even poor writers, we know that it's the space that makes it more attractive. It's the space that makes it more readable. It's the open space of the presentation that makes it more effective to communicate. What if we started viewing our prayer life, our time with God, not as empty space, as white space, but central to the beauty of our life in equipping us to present ourselves as messengers to God? Friends, if we seek to be better leaders in our world, may we begin by being better listeners and do that by listening and speaking to God daily so that we will look more like Christ to the world around us. Amen.